I'm Ashley Legasic.
And I'm Catherine DeClercq.
And we make up CTV's newest podcast, Life Unmasked.
We'll bring you everything you need to know about exactly how we're going to return to normal life post-pandemic.
New episodes come out every Thursday morning on iHeartRadio, and they're available on all streaming platforms later in the day.
We hope you'll tune in.
Are they the conditions that could ground the travel plans of thousands? The restrictions and revisions taking effect as the world tracks the spread of the new COVID-19 variant. Good evening. If you have an out-of-country vacation booked in the coming weeks, are you thinking twice?
The uncertainty over Omicron already being felt as more Canadians stranded overseas look for a clear path home. We begin our coverage with CTV's Bill Fortier.
As new incoming restrictions land, there's a whole new round of confusion at Canada's biggest airports.
Okay, but I want to know. I'm safe. I need to get a third dose before I leave.
I was planning on traveling down south for over the holidays, and I've decided to push it back more in January, see where it goes.
All passengers arriving in Canada now have to be tested on arrival, and they have to isolate until they get results. The travel ban has expanded, now including 10 African countries, and Canadians returning from those countries have to get a COVID test in a third country before they can return to Canada.
The last few weeks has been one step forward and two steps back.
Experts say there are many questions still up in the air, another huge blow to the travel industry.
International travelers are very concerned about going anywhere right now and running the risk that they could, with very little notice, find out that the border is closed and they can't get back in.
Some are already stranded.
Canada is the only country that you can't get to directly from South Africa.
This Canadian is visiting her mother in Johannesburg. She's having trouble getting home because of that requirement to get a test in a third country.
And there are very few, if none, airports in the EU that have testing abilities. We don't understand why Canada's asking for that PCR test in transit, because we're quite fully able to give it to them in Toronto and accept any consequences.
The new restrictions by Canada and other countries are also creating anger and frustration within South Africa, where doctors say the bans are pointless since Omicron has already spread. Bill Fortier, CTV News, Edmonton.
At airports across the country, international travelers are still coming and going.
Many wondering whether this change in course will create some detours in their journey. CTV's Beth McDonnell is live outside Pearson with more on that. Beth.
Michelle, on the loudspeaker here, there is a message saying international air travelers coming in may experience more delays, more screening, more health checks. A sign this new variant isn't making it any easier to move around. Flying home to Pearson from overseas right now, there is already a sense of unknown, along with the extra time and effort it takes to travel in the pandemic. In from India, this pair dealt with two COVID tests.
Yeah, we were pretty nervous in the beginning, but once we were tested negative, it was everything was good.
With the emergence of the new strain and restrictions, many traveling out of Pearson are feeling more stress because of what it could entail to come home. Canadian, fully vaccinated Dominic Daniel is going to Nigeria, a country included in the ban, for a family emergency, and will have to follow the new stricter measures.
It's not really safe, too safe to travel right now, but, you know, I'm keeping my finger crossed that everything will be okay.
Vicky Kamini is going to Cameroon to bury her father. She works in a daycare and isn't clear when she needs to return so she can go back to her job.
I'm worried about that because I don't understand why I have my two doses.
After 2 years, Brian Motherway is going to Ireland to see family.
It's scary, you know. I mean, I think we've all been kind of in a state of unsettling state since this all started, but I don't know, like with the vaccine rollout and the measures in place, it doesn't seem as scary as it was a year or two ago.
The timing has many travelers, including seniors and snowbirds, going to the U.S. worried what flying will be like in the weeks ahead. Are you worried about coming back?
Absolutely. I took extra medicine with me.
What's going through your mind about coming home? What are you thinking?
Maybe we won't. We're off.
Hoping for the best. Many travelers I spoke to today told me it's been a long time since they went overseas and want to take their chances. Reporting live, I'm Beth McDonnell. Michelle, back to you.
Thank you, Beth. And you can get a full rundown of the new travel rules on our website. Our online team has those details at ctvnewstoronto.ca.
Meanwhile, Ontario's premier says he's happy with the stricter rules, but Doug Ford adds they could go further. CTV's Austin Delaney's live in Mississauga with more. Austin.
Well, Ottawa is asking premiers across the country whether or not they support U.S. citizens having an exemption from having to show a COVID test when they come into Canada. I put the question to the premier today.
Please welcome our premier, Doug Ford.
In Mississauga, to announce the building of Canada's biggest hospital, the premier instead talking about keeping Ontarians out of hospital, with the emergence of the new COVID variant Omicron now in the province.
It's coming in from other countries, and we're working again collaboratively with the federal government to tighten up our borders.
Ontario's premier was quick to call on Ottawa to ban passengers from certain African countries where the variant was first identified. The feds then bolstering borders by requiring everyone landing to have a PCR test except Americans.
And it doesn't take much to get a test at the airport.
The federal minister of health asking provincial premiers whether there should be an extension of the PCR test to U.S. visitors.
Well, I'd always support anything that can be cautious to prevent this variant coming into our country. So again, we'll have a discussion with the federal government. That's their jurisdiction, it's not ours. They work collaboratively with all the provinces and territories.
Ford says he has concerns about how the virus is getting into Ontario.
Because what happens is they go from one country, jump to another and jump to another, and then fly into Canada. So we have to be cautious on all fronts.
Ford also says Ontario is increasing testing and contact tracing.
And the province's health minister was here as well today. Christine Elliott says expect an announcement this week on expanding the booster program in this province. We're live. I'm Austin Delaney.
Thank you, Austin. It was money meant to help businesses struggling to stay afloat in the early days of the pandemic.
Turns out hundreds of millions of dollars went to places that weren't even eligible. And that's just one finding from Ontario's financial watchdog. CTV's Queen's Park Bureau Chief Colin DeMello is live with more. Colin.
Well, during the second wave of COVID-19, Michelle, at the beginning of 2021, money was flying out of Queen's Park, going to businesses to help them stay afloat. Today, though, the Auditor General says nearly $1 billion went to businesses that didn't really need it.
As Ontario struggled with the second wave of COVID-19, the government was scrambling to help small businesses impacted by the pandemic.
It was true that they were trying to do that in a rushed manner.
Government bureaucrats were given just 2 days to design a program that would give small business owners grants of between $10,000 to $20,000. But a new report from the Auditor General found the government gave nearly $1 billion to businesses that simply didn't need it.
It is very troubling that you have an IT system in place that is distributing, not catching applications that and distributing money to people that might not be entitled to it.
The AG found that 14,000 businesses received a total of $210 million, even though they did not qualify for the grant.
It's a lot of money. $210 million is a lot of money.
Another 51,000 businesses received $939 million, despite experiencing a combined loss of just $225 million. In fact, the auditor says some lost as little as 2 cents, but still applied and still received $10,000. And thousands of businesses like laundromats and dry cleaners were left out of the program altogether, despite being impacted. The government admits mistakes were made because they prioritize speed over accuracy.
When we're rushing the money out the door to support the small businesses that were in desperate need of it, unfortunately, you're going to see some fraud, and we don't take that lightly.
The AG agrees the government was defrauded, but says instead of going to the OPP, the government decided to forgive and forget. The Ford government suggests the province didn't catch it, so it wasn't the business owner's fault.
They'd suffered enough, and we didn't wanted to go after them, those that we determined were made in good faith.
But critics disagree, saying the province should find those responsible.
That money should be recovered. They have the names of the companies. They have their bank accounts where they transferred the money. That money should be, there should be an attempt to recover that money.
Ultimately, though, the premier is not expressing regret, saying despite the fraud, the money went right back into the province's economy.
The AG says part of the problem was the government wasn't really verifying the applications that came in from businesses for these grants. And critics say that's unacceptable because this program was put into effect 9 months into the pandemic. Reporting live at Queen's Park, I'm Colin DeMello. Nathan, over to you.
All right, thank you, Colin. Well, it's above seasonal, but we do have some rain to deal with. Michelle Jobin's here with a look at the current conditions. Michelle.
Well, we've been quite mild today, of course, Nathan, and we're looking at temperatures being even milder as we get into tomorrow. But one thing we do have to deal with is wind, and another is rain. And some communities dealing with some snowfall at this point north of the city of Toronto. We also have some areas that are probably seeing a mix of rain and snow at this time. I'm talking north of the 401, northern GTA. So watch out the roads being quite slippery at this time. Winds are out of the south at 22 kilometers an hour. That's sustained. We have some concerns for areas adjacent to the Upper Great Lakes tomorrow that winds will be very gusty, somewhere between 70 and 80 kilometers an hour for the Bruce Peninsula, the Barrie area. So watch out for that as we get through the day tomorrow. Right now, temperatures like this at the city of Toronto, for the city of Toronto, 4 degrees at Pearson, 5 at the islands. Tonight, a low of 4. I'll let you know what you can expect coming up in your 7 day. Back to you.
Thanks, Michelle. To Oshawa next, where a 15-year-old boy is in hospital tonight, stabbed not far from a school, a large area taped off by police. CTV's John Musselman is live near Harmony Road and Adelaide Avenue with more. John.
Hi, Michelle. Yes, that police tape remains up here. This happened, according to witnesses, in a treed area just on the edge of the park.
Durham Regional Police were called to this wooded area in a park across from Eastdale Collegiate and Vocational Institute just after 12:30 today. A 15-year-old male was stabbed. The scene is near Harmony Road and Adelaide Street in Oshawa. This woman lives near the park.
We saw probably 50 or more kids from the school running out from the forest, like stampeding across the park. And then the next thing we knew, there was cop cars all over. The park is taped off.
The victim was transported to hospital with serious but non-life-threatening injuries. A hold and secure was ordered for at least a half a dozen schools in the area. Police officers taped off a large section of the park and police dogs were brought in to search for any evidence that might be connected to this case. It is not known if the victim is a student at any of the nearby schools.
Well, I guess it's like anybody, you never think it's going to happen here. So that's kind of scary.
The hold and secure at all the schools was lifted around 2:30 this afternoon. Police have not released any suspect information.
And anyone who has information about what happened here is asked to call Durham Regional Police or Crime Stoppers. Reporting live in Oshawa, I'm John Musselman. I'll send it back inside to you.
All right, thank you, John. In London, it's a somber task. Police trying to figure out what led to multiple people being struck by a vehicle. One of them, an 8-year-old girl, was killed.
While there are lots of unknowns at this point, investigators say there's nothing to suggest this was deliberate. CTV's Raheem Ladani is live in studio with the latest developments. Raheem.
Well, Michelle and Nathan, I can tell you we've just learned that the 8-year-old girl who passed away, she was a student in the Thames Valley District School Board. In fact, 4 of their students were involved in this horrific crash.
Tire tracks through the snow serve as a reminder of a deadly crash, which has left London residents in shock.
There were a lot of little ones that were hurt and a lot of little ones that were uninjured but scared and so on. So just a terrible evening.
My heart just broke. Yeah, I just can't imagine any family going through, you know, their children getting hurt.
Witnesses say they saw a vehicle traveling at a high rate of speed around 6:45 Tuesday evening when the driver hit at least one vehicle stopped at a red light.
In a few seconds, right in front of my windshield, I saw a big cloud of pieces and like parts from cars.
Police say the driver was a 76-year-old woman who then continued through the intersection.
She mounted the curb just west of the intersection behind me. She struck a light standard or a light post. She struck a small tree and then a group of pedestrians who were walking.
10 females were hit, ranging between 6 and 40 years old, some of whom are part of Girl Guides of Canada. An 8-year-old girl died from her injuries, while 6 others remain in hospital. Premier Doug Ford stopped by the crash site ahead of a scheduled fundraiser alongside London's mayor to pay their respects.
Just a tragedy, and my heart just breaks for the family.
The crash comes nearly 6 months after a man struck a London Muslim family, killing 4 members of the Afzal family and leaving a young boy injured. But police believe this crash was unintentional.
We knew, as the investigation continued, that there was no indication that this was an intentional act.
The community now mourning the loss of a young girl.
And police say the driver remained at the scene and wasn't taken to hospital. Police also haven't said what caused her to lose control, but that at this time, no charges have been laid. Reporting live, I'm Raheem Ladani. Michelle, back to you.
Thank you, Raheem. And here in Toronto, police are looking for a man accused of pushing a fellow rider onto the subway tracks. Investigators have released security images of the suspect. On Friday evening, police say 2 men bumped into each other on the platform at Bloor Yonge Station. The suspect then allegedly pushed the 36-year-old victim onto the tracks. He was struck and dragged by a train and had to be hospitalized for his injuries. It's been around for more than half a century, but a drug used to treat conditions ranging from asthma to allergies has suddenly become a lot more expensive for those who rely on it.
Patients who call the medication nothing less than life-saving now feeling squeezed with a dramatic price increase. CTV's Scott Lightfoot is live with more. Scott.
Well, Nathan, advances in medicine over the past 50 years mean this drug is not as widely used as it once was. The manufacturer says usage is down 95% in the past 15 years. They decided to hike the price of the drug dramatically. The Ontario government decided to remove it from the drug benefit formulary, which means it's no longer covered by the government, and the people who use it are now left scrambling.
And this is what they look like.
For some, like Robin Fernandez, it is a life-saving medication.
It really gave me a bit of my quality of life back.
Fernandez uses sodium chromoglycate, an inhaled medication, to help her live with mast cell activation syndrome.
Anything can be a threat. It can just be a fabric you're wearing. It can be a scent in the air. It can be a food you're eating that used to be safe, and now your body suddenly decides it's a threat. And then you can go into anaphylaxis. And next thing you know, you're doing an EpiPen and you're in the hospital.
The drug was recently removed from the Ontario Drug Benefit Formulary, meaning it's no longer covered by the province. Users were then hit with a more than 400% price increase.
No one's going to believe that the operating cost to make this drug suddenly soared 400%, or even the amount they're trying to increase it now by all of a sudden. So this is just an attempt to make money. It is not necessary. It is the company trying to generate more revenue. And from a healthcare point of view, we should not have any sympathy for that.
Today, the company that makes the drug, Montreal-based PharmaScience Inc., announced they would lower the price, but it's still out of reach for some.
And so having it increased is impossible. I won't be able to take my medication anymore.
The medication has been around since the late 1960s and is prescribed for everything from asthma to allergies. New medicines have replaced it for many patients, but not all.
For those patients, it provides important relief of symptoms and control of the disease. And taking this away is going to have a big impact on the lives of those patients.
PharmaScience says use of the drug has dropped by more than 95% in the past 15 years. In a press release, the company says the case of PMS sodium chromoglycate illustrates well the extreme difficulty for generic pharmaceutical companies to maintain the commercialization of old generic drug products with very low utilization rates. The company says it will keep the price at its new level until the current inventory is depleted and says that should give doctors time to find alternatives for their patients.
So there is no real alternative. I talked to my pharmacy, there's no alternative. My allergist was saying, we don't know what we're going to do after this because there's nothing left.
Fernandez hopes the drug will once again be covered by the province or a new manufacturer can be found.
I need to be covered so that I can breathe and eat without going into debt or being in the hospital all the time.
And Dr. Stanbrook calls it a bad trade-off, suggesting that patients who are switched to other drugs may face negative side effects. The Fernandez family has started an online petition calling on the government to reinstate coverage of this drug. Just over a week's time, they've got more than 17,000 people to sign that petition. Reporting live downtown, I'm Scott Lightfoot. Michelle, back to you.
Thank you, Scott. Moderna says it could have a COVID-19 booster shot targeting the Omicron variant tested and ready to file for U.S. authorization as soon as March. The company says it's working on booster shots tailored to the new strain, something other vaccine producers have also indicated they're working on. Keep in mind, tests are still underway to see how Omicron affects existing vaccine protection. Also today, Pfizer announced it has filed for Health Canada approval of its COVID-19 antiviral pill. The treatment blocks a key enzyme that helps the coronavirus multiply. Clinical trials showed Pfizer's pill reduced risk of COVID hospitalization and death by 89% in high-risk patients.
Meanwhile, Public Health Ontario is reporting 780 new COVID-19 cases in its most recent update. 444 of those cases are among people who either aren't fully vaccinated or their vaccination status is unknown. More than 35,000 tests have been processed in the last 24 hours, and the province's positivity rate is sitting at 3.1%.
965 more cases are considered resolved, raising that total to more than 602,000 over the course of the pandemic. Six additional deaths are linked to the virus, although one death is being removed from the total due to a data cleaning. That means 10,005 lives have now been lost to COVID-19 in Ontario.
Tonight's regional breakdown includes 96 new cases in the city of Toronto and 38 in Peel Region. York and Durham both have 37 new cases, with 33 in Hamilton. There are 26 new cases in Halton Region and 16 in Niagara.
On Parliament Hill, MPs have agreed to pass the Liberals' ban on so-called conversion therapy after the Conservatives asked for unanimous consent.
There being no dissenting voice, I declare the motion carried.
The House of Commons applauded the decision for over a minute as government MPs hugged their colleagues on the other side of the aisle. This legislation bans the practice of trying to change an individual's sexual orientation or gender identity. Bill C-4 now heads to the Senate.
Meanwhile, some young people from right across the country are hoping to have their democratic say a little earlier.
And they're taking the federal government to court over it. They say denying those under 18 the right to vote is unconstitutional. CTV's Mike Walker reports.
The more people who are involved in voting, the stronger our democracy is.
17-year-old Zoe Purvis is among a group of young Canadians taking the federal government to court in a bid to lower the voting age from 18.
We've seen in the past couple of years people under 18 getting really, really involved in social justice movements such as the climate change movement and the Black Lives Matter movement.
13 young people between 12 and 18 from across the country are part of the suit that claims the age restriction in the election Act violates two sections of the Charter of Rights and Freedom, one that states every citizen of Canada has the right to vote in an election, and another that states every individual is equal before and under the law without discrimination.
That there's a law that says they cannot vote is inconsistent with a charter right that says every citizen is permitted to vote.
Mary Birdsell is a lawyer and executive director of Justice for Children and Youth, which is assisting with the suit. The claim doesn't specify a new age, but Birdsell points to other countries that have lowered voting to 16, including Austria, Brazil, Scotland, and Wales.
And I think it's quite clear now that around 14 to 16, you know, all humans develop the kinds of thinking skills that they use to make voting kinds of decisions.
There have been multiple attempts in the past to lower the voting age. Last week, Independent Senator Mary Lou McPherson reintroduced a bill to allow Canadians as young as 16 to cast a ballot. But this political expert believes there is a lack of political will.
The cohort of the population that is least likely to vote are the youngest voters. What would happen here is that we would have even lower turnout.
The last time Canada lowered the voting age was in 1970, from 21 to 18. This latest claim hasn't yet been tested in court. Mike Walker, CTV News.
To call this work delicate is an understatement. A slope in St. James Cemetery is eroding, and that's putting hundreds of cremated remains at risk, some that have been there for decades.
So to stabilize the ground, the cathedral's embarking on what could be the largest operation of its kind in Ontario history. CTV's John Woodward has more.
Tens of thousands of people have been interred at St. James Cemetery, the oldest cemetery still in use in Toronto. But the ground under some of these stones has been undergoing something of a graveyard shift.
The slope started to degrade.
The cemetery's director of operations, John O'Brien, says the land on the north started to slip into the Rosedale Valley, putting the cremated remains of some 500 people at risk.
There are a lot of burials and monuments located very close to the edge of the slope. People like that just because it's view, it's picturesque. Over time, those locations can be compromised simply by Mother Nature.
One of the reasons this is happening, right here. The broad leaf of the Norway maple creates a dense canopy that crowds out native vegetation with deeper root structures that would have kept the soil stable.
The cathedral started the work to find those graves and then stabilize the slope.
And then each one of those locations, disinterments that were identified, were disinterred by hand. So they were hand dug, they were placed into separate containers, and then all of those individual containers were placed into a larger secure container.
The entire project will cost the church $2.5 million in what they believe is the largest operation of its type in Ontario's history.
The Cathedral of St. James is paying for it. As you know, they are the owners of the cemetery, and as an owner of a cemetery, they have an obligation to maintain all of the graves in this cemetery in perpetuity.
Finding relatives of everyone affected has been a challenge. The cemetery is hoping the publicity will help. Their plan to make the ground stable for generations to come. John Woodward, CTV News.
Still ahead, a locker room pep talk for the ages. The 6-year-old from Ontario getting international acclaim for his inspirational pregame pump-up.
And I'm Pat Foran. Coming up on Consumer Alert, do you drive a lease vehicle? If your lease is about to come to an end, your car could be worth a lot more than you think. Microchip shortages have used vehicles in high demand, so you may want to keep yours, sell it yourself, or use the services of a broker. I'll have my report just ahead.
Well, now that we've hit December 1st, let's take a look back at the month that was November 2021. We had some warmer days, specifically November 8th, hit 19.1 degrees Celsius. Coolest day was the 28th with a high of just -1. Rainfall, we were below average. We had 23.2 millimeters, but above average snowfall of 15 centimeters. So as we look ahead to the start of December, we're seeing it with above seasonal temperatures, 4 degrees overnight, gustier winds at times, especially north of the city, chance of rain and drizzle, and then more rainfall getting going in the morning. We should see about 2 to 4 millimeters in the GTA, a little lower for the city of Toronto proper. I'll break down the rest of your forecast coming up. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Stay with us.
If you lease a vehicle and your lease is coming to an end, in the past, many drivers would hand in the keys to the dealership and walk away.
But because of car shortages and a demand for microchips, an end-of-lease vehicle could be worth a lot more than you think. Pat Foran explains why on Consumer Alert. Pat.
Nathan and Michelle, when the auto industry was drawing up leasing contracts 3 and 4 years ago, no one expected a pandemic would create a vehicle shortage. Now, as dealers scramble to find used cars, lease vehicles are worth a lot more. 4 years ago, Christine Denty of Brooklyn decided to lease a 2018 BMW Grand Coupe. Her lease recently came to an end, and she was surprised that if she turned the vehicle back into her dealer, she would have to pay almost $2,000 in wear and tear charges.
I would be paying BMW to take my car, but then they'd be turning around selling it. So not only do they get $2,000 from me, they turn around and sell it for even more.
Instead, Denty decided to use an auto broker to sell the car and will pocket about $3,000.
I will be able to turn a profit on my vehicle.
Clients hire us to help them with buying vehicles as well as selling their vehicles.
Viraf Balawala with the Automall Network is an auto broker with a dealer's license. He says drivers that have leases coming to an end at this time should know their vehicle may be worth more than they thought.
COVID has created this sort of weird situation where there's a pent-up demand. So vehicles today are actually worth far more than what they were 2 years ago.
Balawala says one person with a 2017 Honda CR-V had a buyback end-of-lease price of almost $14,000, but another dealer paid almost $19,000 for it, giving the client a profit of $5,000.
You have the right to buy out that vehicle if you wish. Or somebody else is willing to buy it out for a lot more because the market value has gone up tremendously.
Leasing contracts vary, and someone could buy the vehicle themselves to keep or sell it privately. Denty says anyone with a lease ending soon should at least consider all their options.
They can get the profit off their car instead of the dealership that they're returning it to, who has every intention to sell it for more, since the car is actually worth more than it was before.
And the situation with lease vehicles may not be like this for long, possibly the next 6 months or when inventory increases. Still, if you have a lease ending, you should do the math to see if it could be worth it for you. On your side, I'm Pat Foran.
If you have a consumer story idea, email us at alert@ctv.ca.
The weather is switching gears. It's warming up, which might be nice if you are already sick of the snow, but the trade-off is it's wet.
Yeah, very true. Yeah, there is some rain on the way. That could be a hassle for some people.
Right, absolutely. We're already seeing slick roads out there. We've had some rainfall. I think we'll see it getting going a little bit more so as we get to the early morning hours and for the morning commute. But keep in mind, roads are already on the slippery side. Weather is brought to you by Trane, the most reliable heating and cooling brand. It's hard to stop a train. So part of the story tonight is temperature, then precipitation, and then, of course, we have wind gusts to talk about as well, and that'll definitely be a factor as we get through the overnight and into the day tomorrow. Right now, temperatures looking like this around the region. Colder air, of course, off to the north. We're in the flow of a bit of milder air as we get continuing into the next, I would say, 24 hours or so. It has felt a little bit cooler than these milder temperatures we've had. We reached a high of 5 degrees today because we've got gustier winds. So that's something to keep in mind. But showers throughout the region tonight, of course, and you could see a mix of precipitation in some areas and, of course, flurries in some areas to the north. But overnight low predicted to be about 4 degrees. We're in a bit of an abnormal temperature pattern right now, and we will go up tomorrow, should hit around 9 degrees in the city of Toronto or thereabouts. So this is well above seasonal. We should be at 4 at this time of the year. But bear in mind, in some cases, winds will be gusting up to 60 kilometers an hour through the overnight period in the GTA into the day tomorrow. And then further to the north, we have concerns about wind gusts somewhere up to 80 kilometers an hour. And this is starting in the morning. So if you're in Concardon, Owen Sound, extending through Collingwood over towards the Barrie area, that'll last throughout the day tomorrow. And then things will shift. The winds will subside, but they're going to bring in some colder air as they shift direction. So this is what things look like right now. Throughout the region, we are seeing a little bit of flurry activity mixing in, but it's mostly a shower situation for the city of Toronto. This will sort of give us some breaks here and there throughout the evening and into the day tomorrow, but I'll show you when things are going to be heaviest in terms of the rainfall. The hint is it's right when you're trying to get out the door and get going where you need to go in the morning. So this area of low pressure moves through, and as it does, it sort of brings in some colder air in behind it. So pausing here at around 5 in the morning, that's when we see heavier rainfall moving into the city of Toronto. Now, this is probably 2 to 4 millimeters when all is said and done for Toronto, a little bit heavier to the north, but watch what happens. We get some clearing after around 9:30, and then later on in the afternoon, things start turning into snow or a mix of rain and snow north of the city. Then the temperature drops, the winds shift, and we start to get some snow squalls. It's going to be flurries and a mix of sun and cloud as we get into Friday, for the most part, moving in a little bit more. So 9 degrees tomorrow, minus 2 overnight, then flurries tomorrow into Friday, flurries for Saturday and Sunday, periods of snow staying a little below seasonal for the rest of the 7 day. Back to you, Nathan.
All right, thanks, Michelle. When it comes to building a toy mountain, there are hundreds who volunteer at the Salvation Army.
People of all ages. And CTV's Andrea Case spent some time with one of the volunteers. And Andrea, she not only donates her time, but she benefited from the campaign.
Absolutely, Michelle. Yes, so building a toy mountain takes many, many, many hands. And the Salvation Army helps people in need in 400 communities across this country. But as we've mentioned before, they can't do it without the volunteers. At 17, Valeria Ruiz is a volunteer with the Salvation Army.
I help around with Sunday school. I help with the toy mountain.
She and her family were first introduced to the organization when they immigrated to Canada from Colombia. She was just 3 years old and spoke no English. That was 14 years ago.
Started going to the Salvation Army Food Bank, the one in Yorkminster, which was the closest to us. And then they invited us to church once.
That became a part of their lives. Bonding with other children attending a Salvation Army's Hispanic language summer camp was a memorable moment.
Kids with kids is just so fun, so easy, so nice. I remember I made lots of friends, some of which I still have now.
She was a recipient of toys donated to Toy Mountain, but the Salvation Army gave them so much more. Her mom is a volunteer, and now she is too, making an impact in others' lives.
That's why I volunteer. It's just, it's fulfilling, and it's good to know that, you know, once I was helped, so it's nice to help back.
Valeria is taking a gap year while she navigates what she wants to do with her life. But one thing is for sure, serving others.
One of my goals in life is to impact people, not in a way that they'll remember me after I die, but they remember me when I'm alive.
And folks, if you've checked your calendar today, you know it is December 1st. Our Toy Mountain campaign wraps up on December 20th, so you still have lots of time. And if you're wondering, how can you donate to Toy Mountain? Well, let me tell you. There's several ways. You can text the word TOYS to 30333, and you'll be making a $25 donation. Or you can bring a brand new unwrapped toy to any of the malls that are listed at toymountain.ca. In case you don't know where to go, they'll tell you which malls have the donation bins, and you'll be able to donate there. I'm Andrea Case reporting. It's time to go to a break. Coming up after the break, much more news on CTV News Toronto.
Today marks World AIDS Day, a moment to reflect on the devastating effect of the illness and the progress being made in the hope of finding a cure.
And as that work continues, some new research is looking at HIV rates across Canada. Our health reporter Pauline Chan has more.
Stop HIV now!
A parade in downtown Toronto to mark World AIDS Day.
I'm a long-term HIV survivor, diagnosed 29 years.
So today we're gathering to commemorate World AIDS Day, and this is in memory of those who we've lost to HIV and AIDS, but also those who are living with HIV and AIDS.
Toronto, along with Montreal and Vancouver, are the main subjects of a new HIV study by Canadian researchers.
These three cities actually are really centers of gravity. For many Canadians, as well as for gay, bi, and queer men.
Professor Trevor Hart says it's the first such study in more than a decade, and it shows key differences from city to city. For example, among participants in Montreal, there's a significantly lower prevalence of HIV, 14% compared to Vancouver and Toronto.
Despite efforts to try to reduce HIV, that there's still a significant HIV prevalence in Canada.
Vancouver showed a higher number of gay, bi, and queer men who have never been tested for HIV at 18.6%. But Vancouver also had the highest rate of PrEP use, a drug used to prevent HIV transmission from an HIV-positive partner, at almost 19%. Hart says the study shows despite some changes, HIV is still a concern.
But there's some evidence that cases are growing in Canada, that the number of new cases is growing in Canada, and there's no room for complacency when it comes to HIV. It also tells us that there's a need to upscale the use of PrEP as a prevention strategy.
Pauline Chan, CTV News.
The Women's Tennis Association is suspending all tournaments in China as it says it's still concerned about the safety of Peng Shuai. The Chinese tennis player disappeared from the public eye for weeks after accusing a former top official of sexual assault. Peng later appeared in videos posted by the government to prove she was all right. But the WTA says it's not sure she's able to act freely and can't ask players to participate in events in China while those concerns persist. Beijing has yet to comment.
YouTube has revealed its most watched music videos of the year here in Canada. Toronto's own The Weeknd was out in front with the music video for Save Your Tears. He was followed by another Canadian, Justin Bieber. His song Peaches was second most streamed. Lil Nas X came in third with Montero, Call Me By Your Name. And Olivia Rodrigo rounded out the top five with the music videos for her songs Driver's License and Good For You. And that wasn't the only year-end list out today. Reggaeton artist Bad Bunny was once again the most streamed artist on Spotify this year. Taylor Swift came in second place not long after releasing a new version of her album Red. Korean pop superstars BTS got third place, and the top five also included two Canadian artists, Drake and Justin Bieber.
Fans of the Home Alone franchise will soon have the chance to take part in their own hijinks in the exact same house.
You guys give up, or you're thirsty for more?
The Chicago area home was the setting of the 1990s movie starring Macaulay Culkin. Now the property is up for rent on Airbnb. The rooms are all set up as they were in Home Alone, including a few booby traps. The booking is available for one night only when it goes live next week.
Stars Tonight is brought to you by Lastman's Bad Boy. Who's better? Nobody.
Better to be like safe than sorry, right? So I know it's a little hassle for everyone, but like the pandemic that we're going through at this point, it's a good thing that we're getting tested.
Air travelers entering Canada are facing more restrictions aimed at limiting the spread of the COVID-19 Omicron variant. Now, Ottawa is considering expanding restrictions for those coming from the U.S.
As a consequence of quick program delivery, eligibility controls were either missed entirely, poorly designed, or not applied.
And Ontario's Auditor General says at least $226 million of COVID-19 relief money went to more than 17,000 ineligible businesses. The report finds almost none of the money's been paid back or ever will be. On the markets, the Canadian dollar was down 29 basis points to $77.99 U.S. American benchmark oil slid 61 cents a barrel to close at $65.57. And the TSX Composite Index lost 195 points to close at 20,464.
The province says electric vehicle charging stations will be installed at most en route rest stops in Ontario by next summer. Each site will have at least two chargers. The pay-per-use charging stations will be installed by Hydro One and Ontario Power Generation's joint network called Ivy. It won't involve direct funding from the province itself.
A new report is named the world's most expensive city to live, and Toronto is far from the top of the list. The Economist Intelligence Unit says Tel Aviv has won the dubious honor for the first time, as its currency rises and prices soar. Israel pushed Paris down to a joint second place with Singapore. Toronto moved up eight places, but still ranks 79th among the cities reviewed, tied with Prague.
Canada's new travel restrictions are being watched closely by many.
And that's the focus of a discussion on CP24 tonight. We're joined by Lena Latifat and Christina Tenaglia. Lena, you'll be speaking with insurance experts about some of the questions travelers might have.
Yeah, what do you do if you have a trip planned this holiday season? So many new restrictions, travel bans, and so many questions. So tonight we are speaking with insurance experts about your rights as a consumer. Plus, we're also chatting with a psychotherapist about how to cope with travel anxiety.
And Christina, you're also taking a closer look at Ontario's new laws aimed at improving work-life balance for employees.
Yeah, so this is new legislation for provincially regulated businesses. That includes employers who have up to 25 or more employees. The idea is to create some kind of work-life balance. So what needs to happen is that those businesses need to have some guidelines in place that allows employees to disconnect from work. That means no emails, Zoom calls, any other requirements. So this is interesting. I mean, how is it enforced? What are your rights as an employee? And again, this is only for provincially regulated industries, meaning Nathan Michelle does not include you and I. Back to you.
All right. Thanks, Christina and Lena. And don't forget, CP24 tonight airs immediately following this newscast on CP24 from 7 to 9.
For athletes going into battle, that final locker room rally from your coach can make all the difference.
True, and those words couldn't have been more inspirational than on Sunday night, delivered to the Peterborough Petes by a six-year-old. CTV's Zoraida Allman joins us in studio to explain. Zoraida.
Nathan and Michelle, you could say Cal Perks had already won even before Sunday's game was played. A viral audition video meeting his hockey heroes and then pumping them full of motivation before getting on the ice. This was not just another locker room pep talk before the big game. It would be better.
Boys, this is Cal. He's our head coach for today, okay?
For Cal Perks, the biggest night of his young life.
Legends are made every day, and you could be one of the greats.
The six-year-old signed a one-day contract with the Peterborough Petes.
So today, we work hard, get back hard, shoot hard, spread out, pass hard.
To be head coach for a day.
It was a dream come true to be the head coach.
Reaching this level, though, took a lot of hard work. The call came out from the Peets at the end of November, looking for applicants to take part in the next-gen game, a chance for kids to win a one-day contract with the team.
Yeah, as soon as I said it, I said, I want to win. And so me and my mommy just made a speech.
His audition speech, he says, inspired by all his hockey books and the hockey songs he listens to.
Everyone in this room has a dream to be the greatest hockey player they can be. But those dreams just don't come to you. You have to earn it. So how are we going to do that?
The video went viral, and soon after, Cal found himself in the Peets locker room.
You want that puck and shoot smart against Cranley. So we won't let those 67s get a win in our barn.
I just was so excited to be in that room with the boys. And I just felt like when they were looking at me, I was just so excited.
He even made Good Morning America's Play of the Day.
Six-year-old Cal Perks, electrifying speech to pump up a junior ice hockey team.
So we're going to do whatever it takes to get the W.
But the dream doesn't end here.
I want to be in the NHL, but when I'm 45, I want to be a coach or a general manager. Today's starting lineup will be 22, 14, 25, 19, 7, and 40 in net.
Yeah!
And all bets are, one day, he'll get there.
Don't forget his name, guys. By the way, the Peterborough Peets won that game that night, 3-2 over the Ottawa 67s.
I think now we're all inspired to get the W, and we're not even playing hockey.
Yeah, of course they won. Well, Gatsby, he's got this clipboard. This guy's reading, and he is just doing
the
his
real
thing.
Deal.
He is serious.
Big things on the way for this little guy, I think. Absolutely. Okay, let's recap your weather. We have showers out there, very gusty winds tomorrow. There's a special weather statement on the way north of the city. It's going to be warm through the overnight period and even warmer tomorrow with a high of 9 degrees. But again, with rain, gusty winds cooling down tomorrow night. Back to you.
Alan, be sure to join Zoraida Allman later tonight for CTV News at 11:30.
You can also stay up to date by going to our website. And a reminder, CP24 tonight begins momentarily on CP24.
For all of us here at CTV News, have a great night.